just not history that we're reading. It's still living, it's still breathing. And in its pages, we hear God's voice. Not one time has it ever come back void.
Turn me up a little bit tonight because I'm not going to be very loud and my voice is weak this evening. And we're just going to look and see what the Word of God says tonight. I asked Sherilyn to sing that on a purpose, not just because I love the song, but we're just going to look at what the Bible says tonight. Just some simple things, just some simple thoughts. And as we look at it, I want you to think about this is what the Bible says. And not one word has changed. Not one word has changed. Think about that. Not one word has changed. So we'll just stick with what the Bible says. We're living in a hard time. We're living in a hard time. We know that. We're living in a hard time in the world. We're living in a hard time in every way. As we even preached this morning. And we're not trying to be mean. And we're not trying to be to beat anyone down. I told you this morning, I'm trying to preach you for you, to help you, to pick you up, to strengthen you. That's what my intentions are. And we're just doing our best to mind the Lord. But our church needs help. Our country needs help. I need help. My home needs help. Everything needs help tonight. And I'm sure that we can see that. We all have lost people in our homes. We all have people who they say they're saved. They don't show no evidence of it. Now, we say, well, we got to take them at their word. Well, I take God's word. I take God's word, but they say they're saved. But there's no evidence of it. There's no walk with God. There's no talk with God or of God. There's no their lifestyles are in some cases, even worse than some people that we know are unsaved. But yet they say they're okay. Well, we all have that in our families. We have those that we know that's lost, those that say they're saved, and whether they're saved or lost, I reckon that's up to the Lord. That's up to the Lord. We have some that's going through things mentally. We have some that's going through things physically. We have some that's going through things spiritually. That's just life. That's life. We're getting older. Everybody's getting older. Everybody getting older. You understand that? Everybody's getting older. And after you reach a certain age, it shows more. You know that? I mean, it may not show to some of the kids. They don't think nothing of it. I never thought nothing of it for the first 40 years or so. But I'm getting to where I show more and more. And in my mind, I can still do it. Until I grab a hold of it. You know, one of the hardest things for me, I was always built for lift and tote. Never was real smart. And I was always built to grab it and go with it. Now I grab it and it just sits there. But in my mind, I can still carry it. In my mind, I can still lift it. In my mind, but that ain't the way it is. And that's just life, is it not? And we all have needs. We get discouraged. We get depressed. We get aggravated. We get mad. We get homicidal. We get suicidal. That's life. That's life. Some days we don't want to live, and some days we don't want others to live. Some days our counseling would be to someone, maybe living ain't for everybody. I mean, that's just the way some of our counseling is. I mean, that's just life, is it not? That's the way we do. That's just growing up and living in this world. But the standard is still the Lord, and the standard is still the Word of God, and none of that changes, and God's ways don't change regardless of our circumstance. He has still made arrangements for us to live like He says to live, regardless. Think about that. Pray with me. Father, I come. Lord, I need you, Lord, even if tonight, maybe more than I've ever needed you, Father. I ask you to touch me fresh, clear my mind, give me the power that's necessary, because I know that I cannot do this by myself. Lord, I need you this evening. Lord, I pray that your word might be paid attention to and heeded, but I pray that you might be lifted up, glorified, magnified in our life tonight. Lord, help us to be obedient, I pray. Please cleanse me from anything hurtful to you or anyone else. God, show me. You've been showing me all day, Lord, where I fail. Lord, I pray now tonight that you might speak to every heart that's in person or those listening on live stream and those we hope will go back and listen. Father, I pray that we'll be obedient to your word, and we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name and amen. Now, as we come here tonight, I want to slow down maybe just a little bit and not necessarily preach different, but I know that some think I preach too hard, and some think that I don't have much grace, don't have much love, got a lot of grit, but no love or compassion. Well, that's not true. Sometimes it takes a lot of grit to get anything out. And you just got to back up and do it. But I'm going to preach a little different. So tonight I'm going to preach on love. Everybody wants to hear about love. So I'm going to preach on love tonight. It's just a message on love. Y'all ready for that? Can y'all handle that tonight?
Yeah.
Just a message on love. And that's all it's going to be. And I'm going to read a good bit of scripture. And read a few things, and then we'll go home. And that's what you think. Now, don't go to sleep on me. Charlie, if you see Dave not off, punch him. He's too far to throw us on me. He warned me I might go to sleep on you. At least he's honest. And he may not be no account, but he's honest. But But well, I want you this way. We're going to try to just preach a message on love. Now, you say you're going to encourage us. I didn't say it's going to encourage you. I didn't say it's going to discourage you. I said I'm just going to preach on love. And it's a lot evident in the Bible, is there not? Ain't you glad the Lord loves you? Ain't you glad? Well, let's look. What does the word love mean? Well, I just took liberty to, before reading the scripture, I just took liberty to copy off what it says love is. So listen carefully. All right. And if I get a little quiet, guard, just turn me up a little bit because of my voice is just weak this evening. All right. Love in the verb, in a sense, it says in a general sense, is to be pleased with. That's interesting, isn't it? To regard with affection on account of some qualities which excite pleasing sensations or desire of gratification. That's what love is on a verb. And then love is a noun. It says an affection of the mind excited by beauty and worth of any kind or by the qualities of an object which communicate pleasure, sensual or intellectual. It is opposed to hatred. Love between the sexes is a compound affection consisting of esteem, benevolence, and even animal desire. Love is excited by pleasing qualities of any kind, as by kindness, benevolence, charity, and by the qualities which render social intercourse agreeable. In the latter case, love is ardent friendship or a strong attachment springing from goodwill and esteem and the pleasure derived from the company, civilities, and kindness of others. Between certain natural relatives, love seems to be in some cases instinctive, such as is the love of a mother for a child, which manifests itself toward an infant before any peculiar qualities in the child are unfolded. That's what love is. Ain't that interesting? Ardent, friendship, benevolence, kindness, charity, qualities of any kind, any qualities that can be found, no matter how minute, any qualities of love. Think about that. Affection, pleasing sensation. Just love. Just love. And to think that the Lord loves us and He's found some quality. I read that and I said, wait a minute. He loves me. What qualities did I have that He loved me? But undoubtedly I got some. Undoubtedly you got some. There's some quality somewhere that He found, and it amazes me. And people says, well, is that agape love or philo love? Yeah. It is. It's agape love. It's philo love. It's loving like a lover and loving like a friend. It's loving, giving all you got. That's what this love is. That's love is a verb and love is a noun, according to Daniel Webster. And I reckon that's all good. That's all good. Well, let's see what the Bible says. How about John chapter 13? Can we look at three verses just for a moment? And then we're going to look at some others. But I want to just give you three little verses here tonight. All right? Three little verses. And like I say, I'm not credited with preaching on love. I'm credited for preaching mean and harsh. And so I'm going to preach on love tonight. And I'm going to use what the master teacher said. John chapter 13. All right? Let's look at verse 34. Now we're going to read 34 and 35 is what we're going to read tonight. All right? And then we'll go from there. Verse 34 says, a new commandment. Now, if we get the setting, the proper setting of this scripture is right after the last Passover, and Jesus had just got through washing the disciples' feet. He's getting ready to go to Calvary here just in a little while. He's going to go to the Garden of Gethsemane. There he's going to take on the sin of the world. He's going to be betrayed. He's going to be judged in Pilate's hall and with Caiaphas and Ananias and all these. He's going to be judged with Pilate and all these things going to be judged, okay? He's going to be scourged. He's going to be nailed to a cross. He's going to be stripped and hung in front of all the public and die for our sins and be buried. That's what's getting ready to happen here. And he stops long enough to talk to his disciples and tells them this. A new commandment I given to you. Now when I read that, I see it's just simple. It's English and we understand that. And I see it's a commandment. It's not a suggestion. A new commandment I given to you. This is a commandment. This was given to his followers. All right. This was his plea before he died. All right. A new commandment I give you. It's a commandment. Everybody see that? Now I can read it again in chapter 15 if you need to do that. Chapter 15 verse 12 it says, this is my commandment. And it's talking about the same thing. So he gives us the commandment. I think we can all agree on that, can't we? I don't care where you're from or what Bible you got or what denomination you are. I believe we can understand, right, that it's a new commandment. We okay? All right. And then it says this, that ye love one another. That ye love one another. Now, as you love one another, you love one another as I've loved you, that ye also love one another. Ain't that amazing that it's a new commandment that he give us? A new commandment, not a suggestion. A new commandment that he gives us, not a suggestion, just a new commandment. That it's a commandment. You know, I'm telling you, you do it. Yeah. That you love one another as I've loved you, that you also love one another. So we look at verse 34 and let's just think of some things. You know, if I'm going to love one another, that's, I'm going to love like he loved and I'm going to love you like he loved. And you're going to love me like he loved. And I'm going to love you like he loves, and you're going to love me like he loves, and I'm going to love you like he loves, and you're going to love me. We got that, don't we? We're just trying to be simple tonight. All right. So that means, like, you know, brethren of the same family. He didn't tell me a new commandment that I love him. He said a new commandment that you love one another. A new commandment that you love one another. Not a new commandment that we love him, but that we love one another. Now, when I love one another, that's going to be like brethren, you know, the same family. Because that's who he's talking to, is his family, is it not? You know, fellow disciples of the same Savior. Can we think on that a moment? Brethren of the same family, fellow disciples of the same Savior. That I love you like he loved me, as brethren and fellow disciples of the same Savior. Of the same Savior. We still okay? You know, by keeping and agreeing together. We're talking about what love is. Right. Right? By keeping together and agreeing together. And you say, well, we don't always agree. Well, that's when you work out your differences. It's the opposite of hatred. Okay? So it's brethren of the same family, you know, fellow disciples of the same Savior, by keeping and agreeing together, you know, working out your differences, by keeping together, fellowship, keeping together. Yeah. It's the opposite of hatred. You know, it's like a man going to his wife or his wife going to her husband and saying, I love you, but I want a divorce. That don't work. I hate you, I want a divorce. That's the proper language. Okay? Everybody hear me? I hate you, I want a divorce. That's the proper language. But not I love you, so I want to be away from you. Because when you love somebody, you want to be with them. And so we're just trying by keeping together. I'm just wanting us to understand what loving one another is. That's all I'm saying tonight. We okay? Everybody understand me? You know, by keeping and agreeing together, working out our differences, you know, praying one for another. You know. Now, where I get all this is by reading Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. And the epistles on how we're supposed to conduct ourselves. That's where all this stuff come from. You can read, if you go back and read Galatians and Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians, you'll find a lot of these things right there. Are we okay? And I'm just giving what the Bible says. I'm not trying to be a smart aleck or sarcastic. I'm just preaching on love. You know, praying one for another. Praying one for another. Praying one for another. Bearing one another's burdens. You know, what it's telling me, if I'm to love one another like the Lord loved me, so I'm supposed to be bearing one another's burdens. You know, we say we love everybody. I mean, we may do it. I don't know. But I don't know how many burden bearers we have in here. I don't know how often I'm a burden bearer. But I believe loving one another constitutes bearing one another's burdens. How about forbearing? You know, I read that in Colossians, you know, forbearing and forgiving one another. You know, patiently forgiving. Patiently forgiving. You know. It says, a new commandment I give you that you love one another as I've loved you, that you also love one another. Bearing one another's burdens. Forbearing one another, forgiving one another. I'm admonishing one another. I looked up that word admonishing, and it's a very simple word to look up to the definition. It says to mildly rebuke and restore. Mildly. That means not mean. It means mildly. You know, admonishing one another as a brother, not as an enemy. When I looked up the word, the meaning, it says admonishing one as a brother, not as an enemy. Building up one another in faith. You know, loving one another to build one another up, to build one another's faith, to help someone increase their faith, to build one another up in faith and holiness. You know, in purity, to help build them up. You know. And then, I kept looking about loving as I have loved you, Jesus said. You know, that's freely in spite of unworthiness and ungratefulness. And I say, man, he's everything here. He loves me, though I'm unworthy. Though I don't deserve His love. Though I don't, I'm unthankful for His love. I don't deserve nothing, and He gives me everything, and I'm not thankful about everything He does. And I'm supposed to love one another like that. I'm supposed to love one another even though there are many times and many things that they're disagreeable about. Just supposed to love. Supposed to love without bias or distinction. Love of, I mean, that's how Christ loves. It don't matter what color they are. Don't matter their education level. Don't matter whether they're poor or they're rich or whether they're weak or whether they're strong. Love like He loves, you know. Love one another, you know. Love one another like I'm supposed to love you and you're supposed to love me. I'm supposed to love you and you're supposed to love me. I'm supposed to love you and you're supposed to love me. like Christ loved the church. And that's how we love one another, husband and wife. But it says here that you love one another as I've loved you. So how does the Lord love you? However you feel like the Lord loves you, that's how you love me. So how do you feel the Lord loves you tonight? Now, you say, well, I don't deserve it. Well, love me like that. Love me like that. Well, I've never done nothing for him, but he loves me. Well, love me like that. I'm to love you like that. Are we understanding what I'm saying tonight? I'm just looking and reading a little bit. That's all I'm doing. Without any bias or distinction between one another. Yeah. Poor, rich, weak or strong. With a pure heart fervently. With a pure heart fervently. That means a hot love. That means a burning love. You know? A hunk of burning love. Maybe y'all remember that. I preached about Elvis tonight. Y'all remember that. Won't remember what John said, but remember what Elvis said. You know, brethren of the same family, fellow disciples of the same Savior. Just, you understand what I'm saying tonight? Just love. That's what love is. Is that what it says? Love one another. A new commandment, verse 34, a new commandment I give to you that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Right? Giving. I believe that love like it is giving, you know, that we give ourselves, we first give ourselves. I believe we find there that the church at Corinth, before they ever give anything to the church, they give themselves first to God. This love, you know, giving ourselves to the Lord and then willing to be spent. I believe I can find where Paul was willing to be spent for the gospel. Where he's willing to spend his life, whatever it took. I think that was love. I believe it was love where he said that I wish myself accursed for his family. I mean, he just had a love. You know, that's love. And he says, love one another. I'm supposed to love you, and you're supposed to love me, and y'all's supposed to love y'all, and y'all's supposed to love y'all, and y'all's supposed to love y'all, and y'all up here is supposed to love him back there. Y'all back there is supposed to love us up here. And those that ain't here tonight on vacation, we're supposed to love them. And not to be covetous because they're on vacation, but we're supposed to love them. And we're supposed to love them that ain't here no more. And we're supposed to love them that left. And we're supposed to love them that dead. And love them that moved away. And we're supposed to love them that are supposed to love us. And we're supposed to love them down the road. And we're supposed to love them across the street. And we're supposed to love them over in Fick County and love them over in Braxton County and love them over in Clay County and love them over in Kenyon, love them over in Burma and love them up in New York, love them up in D.C. and, you know, love them down at the house and love the neighbors. And just a new commandment I give unto you that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. You know, bearing one another's burdens and praying one for another and forbearing and forgiving one another and admonishing one another as a brother, not as an enemy. You know, building up one another in faith and holiness and freely in spite of unworthiness and ungratefulness. You know, just loving one another. Everybody hearing me tonight? And then verse 35, simple verse, said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Not if you go to church, not if you read your Bible, not if you preach, not if you teach, not if you sing, but if you love one another, the only mark of us being believers is that we love one another. The only mark is not how much I say how much I love God. It's how much I love you. The only mark in the Word of God, the only one I can find. Now correct me if I'm wrong. If I'm wrong, stand up and correct me. I'm fine with that. I don't have no problem. But the only mark I can find is that if I love you, it proves that I'm saved. Not my witness, not my tracts, not my verse memorization, not my prayer time, not my Bible study, not my singing. But it says this, unless I read it wrong, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. That's love. But when I read about love, I said, well, I can't just read that. There's all kinds of stuff in our love. So I look over in 1 John. 1 John. First little John. Everybody okay? I'm just preaching on love tonight. Just preaching on love, not real fiery, not real hard. Just kind of mail it out tonight. Preaching on love. So, I hope you have your Bible, and I'd like for you to follow along with me in your Bible. If not, keep up with me, guys. It's going to be simple. I'm going to start in 1 John chapter 2. I'm going to start in verse 7. And I'm going to read it through so you know which verse to follow. All right? 1 John chapter 2. Let's just see what the Bible says. We're just talking about love. Just preaching on love tonight. Just preaching on love. And the Bible says this, brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment, which he had from the beginning. Now you understand this is 90 years or so after Jesus told them that. 90 years after he told them this new commandment I give you. Now it's a 90-year-old old commandment. We okay? Which he had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. He that saith is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be manifest, that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lies of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is the Antichrist, that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we shall have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If ye know that he is righteous, You know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Behold, what manner of love the Father bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hateth this hope, that hath this hope in him, purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifest to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Can I read that again? We've read an awful lot there, and there wasn't much love mentioned until we get here again. When verse 9 says, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed is remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death into life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments, and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come. And even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And every one that loveth is born of God, and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. Then we know and believe the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loved God, love his brother also. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And every one that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is a confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desired of him. If any man see his brother sin a sin, which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God is come, and has given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourself from idols. Amen. I just read to you the book of 1 John, just almost completely. And you know what I found? That everything I read was written around the thought that we are to love one another. Everything I read. That it was a new commandment and it was the old commandment. And I'm telling to you again, new, that we're to love one another. That's what I read. Now all of that in between, about the Antichrist and all this other, telling us about people who don't love one another. But the people who love one another are the children of God. And anybody that hates his brother is not one of them children. And the only way that the world knows, the only way that the world knows that we've been with Jesus is that we have love for the brethren. Not your church attendance, not you praying, not you testifying, not you witnessing, not me preaching, not me teaching, not Cheryl playing, Lindsay playing, nobody singing. No. Not me giving, no. The only way that anybody's going to know if I've been with Jesus is that I love you. And the only way they're going to know if you've been with Jesus. Are you hearing me tonight? Just a little message on love. Just a little message on love. You got trouble loving somebody? You got trouble loving anybody? Then you are not right with God. If you have trouble loving anybody, you're not right with God. And if you hate him, you're not saved. Father, thank you for a simple word. We love you. Not near like we ought to, but boy, I love you. Help us to live what you said in Jesus' name. Amen. See you Wednesday night.